Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to take a look at St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're given readings in the chapters 2 and 3 this week, the first reading at Mass each day. And these chapters, as is this whole letter of St. Paul, is just packed with revelation of the mystery of God. And there's so much here that can be taken in. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to take some time each day to take up the passages that were given and to meditate on them and ask the Holy Spirit to make them come alive in your mind and your heart. Grab a simple commentary, you know, grab a Bible with a good commentary. I'm using today the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible of the New Testament, Second Catholic Edition, RSV. There's very good footnotes in here that can help, because some of the phraseology that Paul uses is a little mysterious. He does talk about the mystery of Christ quite a bit. The whole thing is like a beautiful hymn from his heart declaring the amazing work that God has done to save the world, to reconcile us to God, to bring us into the family of God, the mystery that is revealed in Jesus, through whom all things were made, including you, including me, and how in Christ the Father's going to sum up everything in his ultimate plan for the salvation of the world and Christ's rule of the cosmos under the loving gaze of a very happy and proud Father whose heart is jealous that his Son be recognized, that his Son be loved, that his Son be seen for who he is. Such a extraordinary set of verses here. And friends, there's so much in our culture today, so much in daily news and struggles that can be very discouraging and can weigh on us like a heavy blanket. It could lead to discouragement. People feel like there's almost nothing to hope in. Around every turn as you look down the road, so to speak, there's no light and people are struggling. Now, this is the moment for the church to be the church. This is the moment for the light to go on to shine more brightly from the church. And that happens by a work of God in us, the grace of the Holy Spirit, giving us faith conviction that what St. Paul is telling us, what Jesus spoke to us, what comes to us in the scripture and the lives of the saints is real. And when our minds and hearts are touched by this mystery that Paul's talking about, everything gets put in perspective. I mean, not every minute of the day we got to fight for it. That's normal. But it lifts the heart and mind. It puts our battle here on earth in perspective. Life is short. It's a breath. We know where it's heading, and we're not surprised by it. The first couple of days this week, we talked about the first section of chapter 2, which Paul talks about how God brought, you know, salvation to the human race in Jesus, brought us from death to life, and restored the relationship between humanity and our Creator, with God, who is our Father, through Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This section of chapter 2, which we got yesterday in the readings and kind of rolls over into today's reading some, is how God has reconciled, moving toward reconciling Jew and Gentile, making us one in Christ. The background here being that the chosen people were the ones who had received God's revelation, had received the promises of God through the patriarchs, the revelation through the prophets, the covenants that God had made with Israel, the Gentiles didn't have access to. But God was, from all time, moving to offer salvation to the whole world, you know, step by step. And first he forged a people that would receive his commandments and learn how to relate to him and to be the body of people from whom would come the Messiah that would bring about the salvation of the world. So here's chapter 2, verse 11 says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles, that is all the non-Jews in the world, right? At the time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, that is, the Jews were the only ones at the time who were circumcised. It was the sign of the covenant. And so, in other words, the Jewish people had covenant relationship with God. The Gentiles did not. Verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. So alienated from God's initiative with the people that he formed, that he called his own, that he gathered to himself, and that he began to reveal himself to, unfolding steadily in an ever deeper way, the revelation about God, who God is, God's desire to be covenanted to be in relationship with, but also a revelation through his commandments of the condition of the human race. Because Israel, who God loved, as we know, was unfaithful again and again and again. And we know that in our own personal lives and how God the Father sent his Son to deal with that situation. So verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. At the time, the people of Israel, the chosen, had some hope because they were given the commandments, they were given the covenant, but yet those commandments which were meant for their good brought light and guided them toward God. But at the same time, Paul will tell us that those commandments shed light into the hearts of the people of Israel and showed them that they don't keep the commandments. What was meant for their good ends up becoming a curse for them, so that all of humanity has to come to face the reality that we need salvation. Because Israel was given the commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't stray from this at all. But they did, and they strayed from the Ten Commandments. And through it, God taught, look at the sickness of the human heart, the resistance to God. This is sin and death at work in you, God is showing us. This is an act of God's mercy. And so he sends the antidote, which obviously is his Son, Jesus. Verse 13, but now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. There's an image here also of the temple in Israel. The central, the holiest place on the planet was, from the cosmology of the Jewish people, the understanding was the Holy of Holies in the temple, the dwelling place of God. And there was a court further out called the Court of the Gentiles. The Gentiles couldn't come into the Holy of Holies, the holy place. But at the end of the day, ultimately neither could the people of Israel. The temple was destroyed. Jesus prophesied that it would be destroyed. And God wanted to put his Spirit in every human heart so we would worship him in spirit and truth as children of God, made children of God by the power of God, and being united to one another. Now, this division between Jew and Gentile, the Lord bringing it together in Christ and sharing together in the covenant promises that God had given. For he is our peace. This is verse 14. He is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. First, he's our peace because Jesus reconciled us to the Father. We're reconciled to God. That's a work of God. Can't do that on our own resources. It's not a matter of me just accomplishing in this world my goals and my vision and doing good on earth, that kind of thing. That's not enough. Only God is good, friends. And God has to act on our behalf by his grace to bring us into his goodness, into his life, so we can be made wholly good. He's the one who gives us power in his Son to come into righteousness, into full right relationship with God, expressed in loving God and loving neighbor. Verse 15, he said, Jesus abolished in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace. So the commandments that he had given and the ordinances of the law, Jesus abolished in his flesh. He came to fulfill every one of those commandments. Jesus said it himself. And he's the one who did it. He's the only human being from the source within himself and his own decision that he perfectly fulfilled the law. Our Lady Mary also walked in perfect holiness. But that's because she participated in the grace that flows from Christ. It was God's work in her, and she's the first to boast in it, that it comes from God and not from her. She magnifies the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And she says, do whatever he tells you to do. The last words she says in the Gospels is at the wedding of Cana. I love it. She said, do whatever he tells you to do. And so I've been talking to friends recently about three things that keep sticking in my mind and heart about what Our Lady says in the Gospels. Number one, be it done unto me according to thy word. Number two, she magnifies the Lord about how he lifts up the humble and his plan is perfect and glorious. And number three, she says, do whatever he tells you to do. That's why she's the first disciple of the Lord. Those are three things that can go a long way for us, brothers and sisters, if we internalize them. Very simple. Every day, be it done unto me, Lord, according to thy word. I want your will. I want to walk in your will. I want to fulfill your will by your help and by your grace. Number one. Number two, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to sing in our hearts and to sing of the victory of Jesus and to magnify the Lord. And that comes when your heart and mind is set on God and not fixed on the grind and the struggle and the division and the battles in this world. We need to have our minds and hearts lifted to God through the grace of the Holy Spirit so we too can sing and magnify the Lord with joy and have joy in our hearts no matter what the circumstance. And then internalize what she said so clearly. Do whatever he tells you to do. You know, it's pretty simple. What am I supposed to do? What's God's will? Do whatever he tells you to do. Okay, verse 16, he goes on to say that he might, so he's made peace with God and then peace with one another in Christ. Those who are baptized into Christ become one with him and one with one another. Verse 16, that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end, the hostility toward God, the hostility toward one another. And he came and he preached peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. Those who are far off were the Gentiles. Those who are near were those who, the chosen people who had been brought near by God. Verse 18, for through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Wow. Chew on that, friends. Just verse 18, very short. Through Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, now have access. How? In one spirit. We've been given in baptism the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives birth to us, gives birth to the church. It's the life of God living in us. And it's in one spirit to the Father. He's given us access to the Father. Of course, Paul will say later, or says in Romans and other places so beautifully, and the Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father. I want to just pray for us in the last few seconds here. Lord, we thank you for this miracle of establishing peace through the Spirit and the work of Jesus. Father, I pray that you awaken in every one of us, everyone who's listening today, the lived faith experience of a heart that trusts the Father and cries out to the Father. Father, reveal your love in us. Help us to see it that we might surrender to it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.